Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Smart guy that I bring on 4 or 5 times a year, David Shaw, the Stanford head football coach. This is such a it's such an interesting time of the year. I said the other day we should grade these kids after they get drafted so I know where they land. Because if they land in certain places, I think they're going to be great. So much of it is, you know, do you have an impatient owner or do you have to win now? And like in Denver, Vic Fangio may only last a year. It is, what do you tell your Stanford kids in the process? Do you think actually, David, it's harder to go high school to college or college to pro, or are they kind of similar? It's where you land.
College to pro is the more difficult transition. I mean, high school to college is difficult, different place, different circumstances, but you throw in contracts, you throw in the guys in your locker room, they're not 2 years older, 3 years older, some of them are 10 years older, right? There's not that camaraderie in the locker room. There's not that coaching the staff outside of the coaching staff to make sure everything's going well. So you're thrown into a locker room with a lot of guys that are making a lot of money that maybe have different agendas than you do.
Yeah.
And you're trying to step up your game with the best athletes in the world and one of the most fast-paced 6 seconds you'll ever find at a time. So that jump up is significant.
You know, you had one of the smartest quarterbacks we've seen, Andrew Luck, and they're saying Mac Jones, you know, a 4-point GPA, graduated in 3 years. And I said earlier, there's IQ, there's EQ. Andrew Luck was smart, but he didn't wag his intellect in front of you. He was very relatable. He wasn't condescending. You at Stanford, of course, most of your guys coming in there you're getting really the pick of the litter in you know, terms of national smart recruits. But I want you to talk about, they're smart, there's football smart. How do you view it as somebody who has such a high standard? You get almost all really, really smart guys, but is there certain players that are just football smart off the charts?
Absolutely, and as usual, I agree with a lot of what you say on this subject. The combination of IQ and EQ is huge. Your relatability, it's not just being smart, but it's also being able to adjust. Things happen during the course of the game. You can't just memorize everything. You have to be able to change on the fly. You have to be able to adjust during the middle of a game, in the middle of a play sometimes. Hey, this is what we planned on doing, but now I can't sit on number one. I got to get back to number two and number three, and I might have to be in a different place that I didn't anticipate to get rid of this ball. So the IQ, the EQ, the adjustability, all those things play big parts in especially young quarterbacks being successful.
You know, you develop players. And you've coached in the NFL, Baltimore, Philadelphia, the Ravens, the Eagles, the Raiders. We always think of, you know, college coaches. You guys are in the development business. And in the NFL, you know, we tend to, as like media, think, well, you're already refined. You don't need to develop. Just go make touchdowns and win games. And sometimes we forget a lot of these guys come from small schools where they didn't have David Shaw. They didn't have Urban Meyer. They didn't have. So when you were with your NFL teams, are some NFL teams simply not very good at development? That's just not what they do well.
Yeah, it is an impatient world. And for me, the higher the draft pick, the less I want to hear the word development, right? Because you draft somebody high that has to develop as a football coach, usually somebody else is going to finish that development, right? So when you're picking early, you want a guy that's as ready to play as possible because of your owner, because of the franchise, because there's a reason why you're picking, because he's got a great skill set and you might have a need at that position. You want that guy to be as ready as possible. So development, sometimes it depends on where that person is in their arc. In their preparation for this fast-paced game against some of the best athletes in the world, the development, it has to be sooner than later. If it looks like a long development, most coaches will say, don't give me that guy because the clock is ticking on me anyway to whether I'm either going to get fired or get a contract extension. So give me the best player possible who's also the most ready to play.
Most mock drafts have 8 quarterbacks going in the first 2 rounds. Davis Mills, yours, doesn't have a ton of reps at the college level, but when you watch him, we've seen the film. Brock Heward came on and said, listen, this guy spins it like anybody. So he's considered more prospect than right now prodigy. talk about him, and what is his development? Could if I draft him in the second round, how many years does he need?
And that's a great question. He's a great example of what we're talking about early. He's got the IQ. He's going to pick up anybody's system very quickly. He's got the EQ as well. He relates very well to the players. He's a great leader. He's got some subtle fire to him, which I think all of his teammates will tell you. In the biggest games, he played his best. In the tightest games, he played his best. That UCLA game was unbelievable. Even though he made a couple mistakes, what he did to bring us back was just unbelievable. So when you've got talent, you've got the ability, you've got the production, and you've got the off-the-field things now, he may not be a household name right now just because we did start so late as a conference, because he did only have 11 starts and only five this year. But when you put the film on, just like you said, and you compare him to the other guys, his best plays are right up there with everybody else. So if he did come back, there's thoughts that he could be the number one quarterback in America. He could be a top 10 pick. So now if you take a guy late in the first, early in the second, that a year from now is a top 10 player in the draft, now you're really cooking. So that's why his name is starting to bally around with a lot of different teams, and looking at if you've got a guy that maybe can start for a year and you bring this guy in your system and train him, this is not just a backup. This is an NFL starter with all the tools, arm strength, accuracy, athleticism, and then his intellect that you could look for.
I want to ask you about a player that Stanford, you've seen him play, and you've done very well recruiting offensive linemen. So Penei Sewell is the kind of highest graded Pac-12 player. He's a mountain of a kid, but people say he's not physical. And during the commercial break, we talked about this, and I thought it was very educational. I said, Coach, everybody tells me he's big, but not physical. And your response was what?
You know, a lot of it has to do with what they're asked to do. You don't see a lot of power schemes. You will see some, but not very many. It's inside zone. It's outside zone. So as some people say, it's finesse. It's still physical. When he's able to reach a guy that most people can't reach, that's athleticism, but then hold that reach and allow the running back to get outside him, that's physical. So you're just looking at what he's asked to do, and does he do it well? But then you see this guy's athletic ability, his size, the way that he can sit down a pass rusher. Don't appreciate you showing those Stanford highlights when you're showing talking about Penei. But you see he's got all of the tools. And as long as you see it, right, you see him not locking up people for an entire down. And much like you watch, and I'm not saying he's going to the Hall of Fame like a Jonathan Ogden. People talked about, was Jonathan Ogden physical enough? And I would say find somebody that can beat him. That's the name of the game. Keep the quarterback clean, and when we run the ball, don't let your guy make the play, and that's what you see on his film.
So it's interesting. Richard Sherman, when he went to Stanford initially, I could be wrong. I think he almost was a wide receiver or something. And I would just tell my – because half of this league, the NFL, is undrafted, which is just a remarkable stat. So tell the story of Richard Sherman, who ended up being iconic. He'll be a Hall of Famer. He's still playing. Wildly respected. But he's the classic. Your staff saw him. I don't even remember him. Was he a four-star recruit? Tell the story of Richard Sherman.
Well, Richard came in as a receiver. And honestly, as a freshman, led the team in yards, led the team in yards per catch, and led the team in touchdown catches. I came in the very next year. I was the offense coordinator and receivers coach, so I coached him 2 years at the receiver position. And gosh, 1 year he averaged 16 and a half, almost 17 yards a catch, explosive, athletic. And he would constantly tell me, Coach, I think I'm a defensive player. I have a defensive mentality. And then that next offseason after his last year at receiver, he said, Coach, I just feel it. I know I'm a defensive player. Talked to Coach Harbaugh. They had a conversation, able to flip him over. And now what you see now is kind of the standard for corners in this generation. He's got length. He's got athleticism. He played a lot of receivers, so he recognizes route combinations. He understands receiver timing. And he's got the hands of a receiver. But then also the mentality of a defensive player. So I like to say, too, that Richard Sherman has gotten a lot of long athletic corners drafted because everybody's looking for the next Richard Sherman, right? You don't have to run 4.3. You just have to be fast enough, but you have to be really, really smart, and you've got to be great at either making the ball bounce or by intercepting the passes.
By the way, that is an amazing story. Richard Sherman, how confident do you have to be that you're going to get drafted as an offensive player? And by the way, those guys are making all the money back then, and say, no, I'm a defensive player. Boy, I don't know if I've ever heard that story before. That tells you a lot about Richard Sherman's kind of guile and intelligence. Well, he ended up at Stanford, so he's got to be pretty. That's a really. Yeah. That's a, have you ever had a player like him?
Never. And I love him like a member of my family. And you'll ask anybody who's ever played with him, his heart is on his sleeve. His emotion is in his team. He gives you everything that he has. He earns respect. After 2 days of practicing with him, he has your respect, not just on his ability and his playmaking, but on his desire to be great for his teammates. Two years ago, we went to the 49ers preseason practices, and he was coming before practice to work with the young guys and staying after to work with the young guys. And here's a guy who's going to the Hall of Fame. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's got all kinds of money, whatever. But he still is a great teammate that helps his team, and there's just not enough of those guys around. So he's a special, special person on the field and off.
By the way, Trevor Lawrence and Andrew Luck, in the last 10 to 15 years, the best quarterback talents I've seen out of college. Now, I think Andrew was a sturdier build, whereas Trevor's a little more whip to his arm, it looks like, a little bit. But they're both athletic. They're both smart kids. They're both good kids. Do you see any comparisons, or are they just two different great talents?
Trevor's the closest to Andrew, I'm with you, that I've seen in the last, you know, however many years I've been doing this. The big difference is what you just mentioned. Trevor's faster. Andrew is thicker and sturdier. But when you watch the film, they remind you of each other just because the calm, the comfort, the accuracy, the athleticism, the subtle pocket movement, the desire to bring a team back. I mean, how many times have we watched Trevor Lawrence take a big shot and then come back and deliver a big shot, or take off and make a big run like he did against Ohio State a year ago? This guy just makes plays in every single way that you can have a quarterback make plays. But he also does it in such a way that it doesn't look like it's superhuman. It almost looks like it's easy, right? Well, those of us that know football know that so many things this guy does, they're not easy, they're difficult, but it's so smooth, it's so natural. This guy is special, and I'm excited what he's able to do with the Jacksonville Jaguars and Urban Meyer. I think it's going to be really fun to watch.
Coach, you were 4-2 last year, 8 bowl appearances in 10 seasons. David Shalby on the NFL Network. Coach, you know I love talking to you. Thank you so much for stopping by our show on a Friday.
Always great to see you, Colin.
All right, David Shaw, one of my favorites. You know, it's interesting he says that about it looks easy. That's the first thing we noticed, all of us, you noticed about Justin Herbert. It's just so easy. It looked like he was playing Nerf ball with his cousins. I remember years ago sitting on a couch watching Michael Jordan play in the finals. And I don't remember who it was against because he was in a lot of them. And I remember thinking to myself, well, he's not the thickest guy. He didn't have the best jump shot. And a lot of guys are 6'6". Everything with Michael just was so easy, just the hang time. And Kobe had a little bit of that. When people are great, you don't notice the mechanical excellence. It's just Justin Herbert, to me, it's just you saw it in the first throws. He's just out there having fun and flinging it. He doesn't have to set up. He doesn't have to move it. Just the ball comes out, and there he is, what I would call just an easy thrower. And Trevor Lawrence, and just, you know, when you're gifted, like we called him, the natural. It's just some people in industries were born to sing, born to dance, and born to throw a football. It's the reality of it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Alex with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Colin, I got to add one more to that list for you. Just because I've watched Mike Trout from the moment he came in the league. Another player, just so naturally gifted.
Can field, can hit.
Everything, just having fun.
By the way, he got hit on the elbow last night.
Elbow, he got taken out of the game.
What's the latest?
We'll find out.
It sounded bad on Twitter. I heard the sound of it.
Yeah, I mean, it hit his pad.
Yeah,
it
might
luckily, clank. But yeah, you just hope. You know, yeah. You never want to see the best player in the game go down.
Yeah.
All right, well, the Browns had some turnover on defense, losing 5 starters this offseason. But they filled some of those holes in free agency, most notably with the addition of Jadeveon Clowney. And Myles Garrett is very excited about how Cleveland's defense will look next season. He said, I think we can do a lot. I don't know what we're doing in the draft, but with the pieces we have now, I think will be very scary. So I'm looking forward to it.
The secondary will be significantly better.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the linebacking core in the secondary were weak.
Yeah.
I mean, Cleveland, they were really bad on the back end. And the downside of that, of course, is when you look at the AFC with Mahomes and Josh Allen, is you can outplay a team. I mean, they got beat up by Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. They were a bad team on the back end. That's like having a bad bullpen in baseball. You can outplay a team and leak runs late. You can't.
You won't win.
Yeah, so Cleveland is really dependent last year on their pass rush, because if Garrett didn't play, they got no pressure and they were bad. But I think the acquisition of John Johnson from mm-hmm. the Rams was really almost as big as any acquisition in the NFL. He called plays, super smart, understands the game. They're pretty young back there. He's like a grown-up. Like, that to me, they have solved their safety issues.
It's a big prove-it year for Cleveland. I mean, they think they shocked everyone when they won their first playoff game in 26 years last year, but now they're familiar, you know? It's second year. It's Baker's fifth-year option got picked up. I mean, a lot of them are playing for contracts. So, prove-it year for Cleveland. Well, moving on, the NFL is in full of young talent, but who is the best of the best? Bleacher Report put together a list of the top young stars under 25 years old. They factored in performance, potential, and the importance of the player's position, and they ranked Lamar Jackson at number one. Do you agree with this list?
I'd probably put Josh Allen and Justin. I think Justin Herbert at six is low. I think Chase Young at seven is low.
McCaffrey?
Yeah, I mean, McCaffrey got hurt, though, a couple times last year. I would say right now I'd put Josh Allen 1, Justin Herbert 2, Chase Young 3, Lamar 4, DK Metcalf. I mean, listen, they're all great. McCaffrey worries me. Chase Young is too low at 7. To be honest, he looks better than Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
He looks like a stronger version of Khalil Mack. So I think Herbert and him are low.
There is so much talent under 25 when you look at that list.
And you know what? Most of the kids, we put so much pressure on them.
Yeah.
There's no bad kids. Like, the quarterbacks in this sport now, we heap money on them, fame on
them.
They're
young.
And they're just good kids. NFL's lucky. Mm-hmm. They don't have, like Baker, I've given crap to, and I think he's lacked maturity. I don't think he's a bad guy.
No.
I just think he
plays along with you, too.
Yeah, I think he needed to grow up. But most of the kids under 25, you would have no reservation to build your franchise around and give them $100 million. They're quality people.
Yeah. Well, Justin Jefferson was a standout wide receiver in his rookie season, and he was the fourth in the league with 1,400 receiving yards and 7 touchdowns. Many mock drafts last year had him going to the Eagles, but when they passed, the Vikings jumped to get him at 22. And Jefferson is very happy with the way things turned out. He said, a lot of people had me going to Philly, and I thought I was going to Philly. The funny part is, Philly was on the board, and then Minnesota called me. It's crazy how all of that happened, but I'm definitely excited that I'm on the Vikings rather than Philly.
Well, they've got a better coach and they've got a better culture. You know, if Minnesota wasn't in the division with Green Bay, we talk about them a lot more. But I mean, it was about a year and a half ago one of the better rosters in the league. Now, they lost guys to injuries and free agency, so Zimmer's going to rebuild the defense, which they need to. They actually have unbelievable offensive talent. Their skill people are as good as anybody. But what happened to them last year, Mike Zimmer's a teacher. Mm-hmm. They were young on defense. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a preseason, and they were just lost in September. They are the team in the NFL this year. You can put it down. They're the double your win total team. They'll absolutely be. I think their win total is around 8, 8.5. Bet the over. Bet the over on the Vikings. That's a 10-win team.
I mean, that's a big burn for a team that is only 3 years removed from winning a Super Bowl. That's hard to think about.
Receivers, tight end, running back. Actually, their O-line now is better than it was about 3 years ago. They've worked on that. And Kirk Cousins is fine. He's Derek Carr. You can win a lot of games with Kirk Cousins. You can win a lot of football. They go 11-6 next year. Nobody is shocked. No. Nobody. Good stuff.
All right.
Alex for the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
So excited for Jason McIntyre. We call it Tomorrow's Headlines Today. The former newspaper guy stops by to predict. I imagine it'll be about the NFL draft. All fired up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball.
We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We bring on Jason McIntyre. The draft, NFL draft, is next Thursday. He does something called Tomorrow's Headlines Today. Former newspaper guy predicts what the headlines will be. Let's bring him on live. We both love the draft. We love it.
Yes.
So much fun. Hope, optimism, even for teams like the Jets. So much fun. All right, here we go.
You got to get in your digs, don't you? You
got to
take
time.
Shots at my Jets, of course.
Here we go. Tomorrow's headlines today. Headline for the Cowboys in the draft.
Yeah, well, we know Jerry Jones, a bit of a gambler. The headline will be Pitts joins Prescott and plenty of playmakers. Jerry Jones trading up to get Kyle Pitts. Now, Colin, this is awesome. So I'm talking with your producer last night about this. We know Jerry Jones is a risk taker. What happens today? What does Ian Rappaport of NFL Network say? All this talk about Jerry Jones, he's not trading up, I think. But that's the chatter right now. We know Jerry Jones can't help himself. Like me, when the dessert tray comes around, you and Baker Mayfield, you know, the Kardashians and athletes, some people just can't help themselves. Jerry Jones loves offense. And Colin, I think we would agree, if they are able to add Kyle Pitts to this offense, instantly, that is the best group of playmakers in the NFL. And Jerry knows our defense stinks. I think Dan Quinn's going to be a bit of an upgrade from Nolan, but we don't know. Let's just outscore everybody. Let's put Pitts, C.D. Lamb, Amari Cooper, Zeke, and let's just try to outscore everyone. Jerry Jones, the ultimate risk taker. I kind of like that.
By the way, if Atlanta does take a quarterback and people are 50-50 split, Denver may move up if they're concerned. So you do get into a situation if somebody likes Jamar Chase as much as Kyle Pitts because receivers are more valued than tight ends, I could see him falling to 6 or 7, and that's when Jerry, who's got extra picks, can give you 2 or 3 picks to get him. For a lot of these teams like Carolina, that could be very enticing. There's a lot of rebuild teams in that 6, 7, 8, 9 spot. Tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline for the Patriots in the draft?
So there was a Seinfeld episode where George Costanza did the opposite. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
Just flipped. Left was right, up was down. The headline for the Patriots will be Lights, Camera, Maction. Mac Jones and Bill Belichick. Come on, Colin. This is picture perfect, of course. Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, very close. We know the relationship. They've done TV shows together. I really believe Mac Jones is the guy for the Patriots. They went out and they spent like drunken sailors in free agency. Belichick never does this. He also never trades up. But Colin, look what the moves were in free agency. 2 tight ends, 2 wide receivers. I know they like Cam Newton, but let's remember, 2 shoulder surgeries in the last 4 years. This guy has fallen apart in the second half of seasons. The Patriots cannot go into this draft and not take a quarterback. And I think Mac Jones, who I'm not enamored with, I'll put that out there. But I think for the system and Belichick and McDaniels, this is a great fit.
Okay, but San Francisco's likely to take him. If they take somebody else, you've got a shot. Tomorrow's headlines today. Dave Gettleman and the Giants at the draft.
The Giants?
Interesting.
They surprise everybody every year. There's a lot of talk about, Giants and receiver. The headline will be Giants defend their pick. Now, this is off board. Nobody's on this yet. Zaven Collins is the guy to watch. Linebacker out of Tulsa.
Yeah.
Colin, this kid was a quarterback in high school. 6'2". He grew to 6'5". They put on weight. This guy's a defensive machine. I'm telling you, Gettleman loves to go crazy at the draft. They've gone offense the last 4 years in the first round. This is a defensive needy team right now. They cannot stop the run. They're looking at a pretty good Washington running attack, a Philadelphia running attack, and of course, Ezekiel Elliott. The Giants go defense. I think it's front 7. If you're into gambling on the draft, look at Zaven Collins, first linebacker taken.
Yeah, by the way, he's going to get drafted in the first round. So that people watching you think it's nuts. He and Micah Parsons are the 2 linebackers talked about in the top 15. All right, tomorrow's headlines today. Headline for the Titans.
It's going to be a little controversial, Colin. There's a lot of controversy surrounding this pick. The headline will be, well worth the wait. Devonta Smith checking in at 166 pounds. Colin, we could do an hour on this guy, okay? I do want to remind people, Hollywood Brown came out of Oklahoma. He weighed 166 pounds. Nobody made a big deal because he was drafted in the 20s. If you take Devonta Smith out of the top 10, where he should not go, you can't draft a guy that's a buck 66 in the top 10. I think falling to the Titans is a huge win. You look at their receiving core for Tannehill. Oh, do we have something cooking? They picked up Josh Reynolds from the Rams in free agency. I think Devonta Smith falling to Tennessee is a great move. He's not a number one, Colin. Okay, let's be clear. These small guys cannot be number ones. Can he be a two or a three? I think certainly so. This would be a home run pick for the Tennessee Titans.
And it should be noted, we have a lot of weapons like Kyle Pitts and Ja'Marr Chase and Jaylen Waddle. So yeah, if he does fall, it wouldn't be a shock because most people believe those players are naturally more gifted, bigger, stronger. Tomorrow's headlines today. Headline for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the draft.
Well, I know you love Mike Tomlin and Big Ben, so I thought we'd get a Pittsburgh Steelers draft pick. The headline will be Big Ben gets a Bama back. Give me Najee Harris of Alabama to Pittsburgh. Colin, did you see what happened in Pittsburgh in the offseason? Dumped their offensive coordinator, dumped their offensive line coach, dead last in the league in rushing yards and yards per carry. With Le'Veon Bell a few years ago, this is a diverse offense. They've got options. They were very limited last year. It's basically Big Ben drops back and throws 45 passes a game. They need a running back. I don't love running backs early, but Najee Harris is in the Le'Veon Bell mold, Colin, right? Catch passes out of the backfield, breaking tackles, tough runner. This is a need for the Steelers. I know people will say we need an offensive lineman. Yes, but Najee Harris is a playmaker. You add him to that offense, and I think you can elongate Big Ben's career. Because remember, a couple months ago, we're talking about, is Big Ben retiring? Do the Steelers push him out? Najee Harris is the pick here for Pittsburgh.
By the way, we know the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson with the first pick. The Jets, though, Jets have two first-round picks, right? Their second pick in the first is, what is it, 20 what?
20, I think 23 from Seattle, 22 or 23.
Interesting pick, because they could get. They don't need a defensive lineman. That they went out.
Correct.
They went out and got, like, was it Lawson?
Carl Lawson,
yeah.
Yes, sir.
So it's the one unit in their team they do not need. So I'm just going to pick your brain on this. So they take Zach Wilson early. They have the 23rd pick and then second pick in this, up near the top in the second round. Gut feeling on the Jets, second pick and third pick, late first, early second.
It's funny you ask me this. So for Fox Sports, I did an ultimate Jets draft. FoxSports.com, you guys can read it. My latest mock draft is out today. I have the Jets going with Caleb Farley, the cornerback from Virginia Tech. Very talented player, but he did just have back surgery.
Yes.
So he's kind of falling down boards. But the Jets cornerbacks, Colin, they are really among the worst in the league. No disrespect. They're good players. But when you talk cornerbacks in the league, they can't guard anybody. And we know in Robert Saleh's system, he wants to rush four and drop back into coverage like he did in San Fran. I think they go Farley in the first round with the 23rd pick. Top of the second, keep an eye on Terrence Marshall, wide receiver from LSU. The Jets need big receivers. They got a bunch of Smurfs. Jamison Crowder's a slot guy. Keelan Cole's small. They picked up Corey Davis. They have Denzel Mims last year. If they can get Terrence Marshall, who starred with Ja'Marr Chase at LSU, then you're giving Zach Wilson help. Because, Colin, you watch Sam Darnold, and I know we talked about this multiple times. The Jets never gave him help. You need to get Zach Wilson playmakers on the outside so he doesn't go and struggle the way Sam Darnold did. Keep an eye on Terrence Marshall from LSU, early second round for the Jets.
No offensive lineman in those first three picks.
Well, listen, they bolstered the offensive line last year. They got Mekhi Becton.
Yeah.
And then in free agency this year, they added like a number six guy, kind of a rotating offensive lineman in reserve. Their offensive line needs to be better than it was last year. They were a lot of young guys, a lot of new pieces. I don't think they reached for an offensive lineman early. Colin, they can't score. They have no offense. They have no skill position players. Le'Veon Bell was a disaster. And Denzel Mims was hurt. Corey Davis, by the way, I don't want to disappoint Jets fans. I know they got him from Tennessee. Colin, the guy's missed like 15 games in the last 3 years.
I know.
Okay? These injuries, you can't have your number one or two guy go down and have no options. I think they need to go receiver for Zach Wilson. Early.
Yeah, Corey Davis is, by the way, super talented.
Yeah.
I don't like Kenny Golladay or Corey Davis. Listen, no, they're both good. But when you spend a lot of money and you ask them to be ones, yeah, it's a lot of pressure in New York City. And I think Golladay is an insane talent. But, you know, I could see him going to New York and we expect him to have 100 catches. And he's more of a 65-7 touchdown guy,
yeah,
with Daniel Jones, who can be spotty as a quarterback who doesn't have a lot of time to throw. So those wide receiver free agent guys, it's dicey. There's a lot of underwhelming performances and overwhelming contracts historically. Jason McIntyre,
good point.
Seeing you, buddy.
All right, pal.
Yeah, and by the way, I love Kenny Gall. I think he's great. But you start paying a guy a ton, now you're number one, you give him a young quarterback, Daniel Jones' O-line isn't great, you know, all of a sudden, where's your catches? Where's your touchdown? Galladay's frustrated, he's hearing it. You never know.